Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Comedian Trevor Moore comes in for lots of laughs, and then we also get into the news on this half of the show. First, I want to tell you about Knocking Doors Down. The Knocking Doors Down, doors with a Z, that is. It's a podcast. Aims to end the stigma surrounding addiction, recovery, and mental health. Celebrities like Caitlyn Jenner, Ric Flair, and Bam Margera. Experts. People have been there. People that know it. And all the people come on. They share their stories of overcoming dark times and adversity. And they use humor and vulnerability and honesty as parts of their story. Host Jason LaChance is in recovery from alcoholism, trauma from a childhood home of addiction, sexual and emotional abuse. Co-host Mikey Naraki has overcome substance abuse as well. For a weekly dose of positivity, humor, and uplifting stories, subscribe to Knocking Doors Down and do it wherever you get your podcasts or go to kddmediacompany.com.
It's hard to be cool stuff and loose. Adam's monthly nut. Adam's monthly nut.
You heard Dick. A new nut has arrived. July's nut has for you two ACS koozies to keep that thin can of seltzer cold in the ball-melting summer heat. Brother Artisan's CBD oil to keep you chill in the ball-melting summer heat. The Hangover Secret. A hangover cure to make sure that after a night of heavy drinking, you don't die the next day in the ball-melting summer heat. And, of course, a bottle of your choosing. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to sign up for 1 month or to keep the shipments coming. Prep your mail's box for Adam's Monthly Nut. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hi, guy. Ace, Top 46 from the Land of Mary. Hey, man, I had a thought the other day, and I wanted to see if it triggered anything in your crystal brain. How long before the United States Postal Service is obligated to deliver mail to the homeless? I mean, there's weirder shit happening in the world, and I don't think anything is off the table these days. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I don't know that they want mail. That's part of their
off the
creed.
Bed.
Right.
Yeah.
Trevor Moore is here. He's got a talk show. It's called The Trevor Moore Show. Season 2 is available now on Comedy Central's YouTube channel. And we'll talk to him now. Good to see you again, Trevor.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm interested, and we probably talked about it before, in your sort of background, because your parents had a kind of crazy profession.
Yeah, they were Christian rock singers in the 80s. So, like, until I was 8. So I grew up on a tour bus, and we just drove around and did, like, churches and, like, mega churches every night.
Was it regional? Like, were they mostly, like, in the South, or was it all over?
No, it was all over. Like, there was the number two song of theirs was called Love Song for Number Two in, like, the 80s. So, like, we traveled all over the place, and, yeah, it was a lot of, which I thought was normal. Until, like, I just thought that's what people did. Like, you know, you just went around and...
That's the beauty of kids. Traveling with Christians in a bus, being violently molested by an uncle. You just go,
Who isn't?
Thought it was normal.
Yeah.
And this was also in, like, the 80s, where it was, like, everybody was there's like, satanic panic. And then also they were telling all the kids that you're... you don't know them, they're going to kidnap you. So I was constantly terrified of, like, being kidnapped and stuff. And I had, like, a secret password that I'd have to give people and stuff. So it was fun.
I don't think, and maybe it dovetails with this COVID stuff, and the reason I push back against so much stuff is it freaks kids the fuck out to tell them that they may be abducted or they may die of a disease or, you know, we only have, when I was growing up before you, my hippie mom was saying, look, we got about, by the year 2000, we're going to be living underground because ozone's going to be gone and there'll be no more natural fuel or any, you won't be able to drive a car. You might say, oh, we'll be out of food. It's like, oh, awesome. You'll be 80 and I'll be fucking entering my prime.
As a hunter-gatherer.
Living in a rat hole. That awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. For us, it was, It was Abduction on the way to school, mm-hmm. and Razor Blades in Your Candy.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And, I was really young, so you guys probably remember this too, but when Ryan White got AIDS, all basically told by our teachers that it could be any of us. We could all get AIDS.
Yeah, I thought AIDS was everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I thought AIDS was like coronavirus, where it was like, you know, like you don't touch anything.
Right.
Like,
you know. Right. And so there's the thing where you go, well, just tell everybody that AIDS is everywhere, mm-hmm. and that they all have an equal chance of getting it, no matter how they participate sexually. And mm-hmm. then just tell everyone that secondhand smoke's going to kill everyone, and tell everyone they're going to be abducted, and then we'll have a safer society. Right. It's like, what a bunch of freaked out kids is what we're going to have. It takes its toll.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens to all these kids that were during the last year grew up with, like, I have a kid, but he's like 3, so he's completely like oblivious to it. Like, he had a great last year because it was just mommy and daddy had to stay home for 18 months. So, but like, I feel bad for the kids who are like, you know, aware of death and then had for a year to be like terrified of this. Like,
go to Zoom funerals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely, there's going to be some PTSD. Like, my son didn't care, but my daughter was like pretty good and freaked out.
Really?
You know? Yeah. A lot of, take your shoes off, can't come into the house, you know, put a mask on outside. Like, it got to her.
Yeah.
And it definitely, you know, nothing is free or sort of without residual effect. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can't just go, well, we scared the fuck out of everyone under 20 for 18 months, but they're fine now. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's over.
No, because if you're 13 years old and you're scared for a year and a half, that's 10% of your fucking life.
Yeah, that's your base normal now.
Your base normal is kind of freaked out. And then we went, all right, turn the page. And
it's anyway, like,
nah, that's
so easy.
Kids don't really work that way. So we shall see. So your son, was it your daughter or your son?
The son.
Your son is happy to have mom and dad around.
He loved it. And then, like, you know, and he, like, so we found a school where he could keep going to it. Like, they kind of, the school did a pod thing. So, like, you know.
The whole time? Or did they have, like, a part in between?
At the very beginning, when everyone was trying to figure out what was going on, they shut down for, like, 2 months. But then they opened back up. But it's like, it's still, I mean, because also with the little kids, they weren't really being affected by it.
No,
like,
they're always at home.
Yeah. I mean, well, the virus didn't really
get
them that much. So we would, the thing was trying, but they had to wear the masks all day and trying to get a 3-year-old.
Toddlers?
3-year-old to wear a mask. And so, like, my kid, like, he kept getting kicked out of school. He kept getting sent home because they're like, he thinks it's funny to take other kids' masks off of them and keep them away. And like, so I had to like talk to him. I was like, and it's hard to talk to a 3-year-old, but I was like, yeah, it's funny. But like, you know, it's, I have to come keep getting you.
By the way, these guidelines, like when they're like, well, anyone on a plane older than 2 must wear their mask. Did anyone raise their fucking hand in that meeting and go, you mean 2-year-olds? Like, how's that going to be physically possible to get 2-year-olds to wear a mask on a commercial flight?
You've seen 2-year-olds on planes, yes?
Yes. Like, what
do you think's
certainly heard them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, not easy to control.
You can't
reason with the
first right. off, but why not just go to zygote? Like, what the fuck is 2? You know, like, why 2? Like, are kids in danger? Aren't they in danger? And we always knew it didn't affect fucking kids. This whole thing's been about age, and they want to freak everyone out. But didn't make it 6. Mm. Or pick some number that you could execute the task. It's like, only kids under 4 can operate the forklift. Like, well, but they can't do it. Well, rules are rules.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, rules are rules. The rules you pulled out of your ass 10 minutes ago, those are the rules that never existed.
Or at least stick with like another arbitrary rule where it's like 21. That's right. That's when people can drink now. Right. So that's when people need the mask. Like, that's.
Yeah, it was so sad, like, seeing people being thrown off of airplanes, and then they hand out the snacks.
the little kids eating their Go-Gurt, oblivious.
And the moms. I like the negotiation where the mom's like, oh, no, they were eating Lunchables. Like, no, but the mask, go, no, I'm sorry, you have to.
Good policy.
Right. All right.
Trevor,
so,
I don't know about your son. Our daughter was 3 during the pandemic, too. Mm-hmm. Same situation with school. It closed for a little bit, then opened back up slowly, cautiously. They're still wearing masks. I don't know about your son.
They still wear it, like. Like now, but now he's used to it. like,
yeah, no, she doesn't care.
Yeah, now he just puts on his mask when he goes out. So I don't know how long that will, like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, if he wears a mask his entire life, he's like, I feel better this way.
Right?
Like, I feel
yes, more comfortable. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking, because in terms of you saying kids will be freaked out, our little one at home, he puts it on, you know, like, just because that's what they're used to. And we're going to the playground. I go, you don't need to wear it. And he's scared to take it off because he was told to leave it on for a year.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Good luck, pussies. Fucking pussies. You went in on all of it. You didn't have to go in. We could have said no. Mm. They couldn't have done anything, but we all went in, and now you fucked everything up.
Couldn't have done anything.
Enjoy your fucking life.
Who, us?
Yes, everyone should have just went, fuck it. I have 3-year-olds. I can't put a mask on them. Fuck you. We're not doing this. They should have done it. We should have grabbed a little power back, but we all just fucking caved. Yeah. And now we got a bunch of freaked out kids.
Yeah.
And it creates anxiety. I mean, we've all had it. You know, that feeling of like you're leaving your car and you're walking into the coffee shop or the Home Depot and you pause and you go, oh, wait, what are the rules?
Right.
Where's my mask?
Yeah.
Like,
look
weird
for signs.
Moment of anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I had it here. Like, and like, you know, I feel like I know your opinion on the masks, you know, from the show, but I came in and a guy had the mask on. I was like, do I need the mask? Like that. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Who do we need to fire around?
No, his lady is having surgery and she's trying to make sure she's good.
There's always a reason.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't trying to get it. No,
I was surprised at what percentage of Americans lived with their elderly parents.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're young and you're healthy, but then when you go home, you have Nana.
Right.
It's like, we live together? Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, what is this, Italy in 1943? Like, we don't live with our elderly parents. I try to avoid my elderly parents.
When my parents come to visit, I won't let them stay with me.
Good.
Yeah. Smart.
Do you blame it on COVID?
Yeah, Tom's a health
hazard. I just say, I'm like, my house, I don't have a room. They're like, there's a guest room. I'm like, yeah, but it smells weird,
it's
right
kind
now.
Kind of my office.
A little too close to me.
Yeah, I always used to see, it doesn't really work anymore, but back when cell phones and driving seemed dangerous to my 80-year-old mom, mm-hmm. every time I called her, I was like, I'm in the car speeding down the highway. And she goes, all right, we better wrap this up.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the worst day for every New Yorker's life was when they put Wi-Fi in the subway.
Oh,
it
right.
was awesome. I'm losing you.
Oh,
flip,
yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah. So traveled what parts of the country back as a young man with your rockin' Christian parents?
So I don't know like how much we spent in each territory, but we hit like 46 of the states.
Wow.
I know
that.
Wow.
So they would go, they'd do the whole thing. Like we would leave, you know, when we traveled in a motorhome. So we'd be gone for like a month, 2 months at a time. They'd had to go to the bank and get like the big envelope of money because like there was no like ATMs.
Were
like,
they a duo? Was there a band?
Were you in it?
I was. Yeah. 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 I had one song.
Really?
What was it?
It was called I'm Just a Little Boy. Mm-hmm. So
can we get that please?
I think it's
on
YouTube.
That?
Yeah.
YouTube.
But yeah. And they actually like, I don't know if so I quit once when I was like 5.
Uh-oh.
I was like, I don't want to do this
fucking
anymore.
Fucking diva, rockstar diva.
Fuck this rider up one too many times.
Well, I said no green M&Ms.
So they would. Well, I just didn't want to. I vaguely remember there's something back at the. You know, we were staying at a hotel that night, which was like a treat. Like you're not on the right. bus, so I was like, oh great. Like, and there was a TV show I wanted to watch, and you know, it was going long, and I didn't want to be there, so I was in a bad mood. And then they called me out of the audience because the trick was like they'd be like, and now our son Trevor's going to come up, and I'd come up, and everyone would be like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
And then I'd sing a song with them. This was called I'm Just a Little Boy Who Can Change the World. That's what the song was called. And so one night they called me up and I was like, I don't want to.
Oh, oh yeah. Asserting wow. a little independence.
And they're like, oh, Trevor, this is the time when, you know, you come up on stage and sing a song. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
And sign over the publishing rights for a yeah. walk.
So they were like, okay, let's move on. We'll go on with the show like that. And then for some reason, I mean, the reason is that I'm 5. I just got up and I like stormed onto the stage, like got up there and they're like, oh, Trevor, you changed your mind. I was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And I don't want you to do this anymore. Wow. I want to go home.
In a mega church in front of a crowd.
Huge crowd. So my mom goes, my dad's like stalling. My mom takes me backstage. And she spanks me.
This is essentially Montecore turning on Siegfried.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's essentially this, yeah. the biblical version yeah. of that. That's what happened.
Only Montecore gets spanked.
Because you can't really control a Bengal tiger.
Right.
You can't really control a 5-year-old who's going to be a comedian one day.
Not right. 4 nights a week you can't.
Right.
Like, you know, 2 on Saturday. You can't. and so my mom brought me backstage and she spanked me. But she left her mic on.
This is the best story ever.
Wow. So the whole megachurch heard me being spanked. But this was like the 80s. This was a very, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Sure. Crowd.
Standing ovation. Everyone got to their feet and applauded. And it's like one of my first memories is like my parents spanking, my mom spanking me, and then the audience, it crushed.
Can you please sell this story to Danny McBride for Righteous Gemstones?
became the closer.
Amazing.
Yeah, it became the closer. Yeah, they did it every night after that, every show.
We have the song, yes! Chris says. I don't know if...
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. Timeless.
Oh, yeah.
One more.
I am just a little boy.
That's me.
You can change the world. Change the world. Change the world. I am just a little boy.
I'm a little pitchy.
You can change the world. You didn't really finish the phrase, but it's okay.
In my defense, I'm missing some teeth.
Jesus made a change in me. Jesus made a change in me.
Wait for the hook.
He can change you too if you want him. Because Jesus made a change in me.
That's my sister.
This gets better and better.
How old is your sister?
I mean, if I'm six or five, she's got to be three. So she's like, has no idea what's happening. Like,
got a mask up.
She's just putting phonetic sounds together.
Wow.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Did your parents make money doing this?
Yeah, I mean, this is all they did for, this is what we did for a living.
I mean, did they make good money doing it?
I mean, no, they weren't. We were middle class, you know. We weren't, like, bloated or anything.
Is this mom and dad?
Yeah, it's my mom and dad.
Change the world. Change the world. There was once a little boy who changed the world.
I hope they're divorced. Are they divorced?
No. Oh. Still together.
Would have been a good out if they were divorced.
It was a murder-suicide.
Did they break out the acoustic guitar in, like, Christmas?
Oh yeah!
I imagine.
Oh, they go. They sing with the church choir. They they're.
I meant at home.
Oh yes, they do. They do that too. Yeah.
Now you say they did like Christian rock. This obviously is not that format.
This is not that.
Did they do some Striper stuff? Did they cover Striper?
They didn't get that far into it, but they did a little more rock towards the end. Like they had an album that had a little bit more of a kind of a rock tone to
the
it.
Sound
evolved. We must be able to find the one that went to number that charted.
The charted one's not very rock either. Yeah, that's called it's called Love Song for Number Two.
Who's number two? Guess we're
going
to find out.
My dad.
Oh, as opposed to...
Number one being God.
Jesus. I see.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like being called a number two.
Yeah. It's usually a...
It's pejorative. But I come from a bunch of fucking atheists, so what do we know? Yeah, it's also insane how many roads lead to comedy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because if you look at the background of Trevor... Or my background. You couldn't have two more diverse backgrounds. It couldn't be polar opposites of each other. But, you know, if you looked at Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel, you'd see two very crazy different. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem, you know, when people kind of do this thing where it's like, oh, you're a comedian because you had to X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I'm starting to think it's all nature at this point. Because there's so many different stories.
Yeah.
And the part where you felt awkward or you were, in pain or felt like you weren't the belle of the ball in high school, that's every human being on the planet.
Yeah.
So there must just be something called a sense of humor.
Yeah. Stepping outside of yourself in that moment and seeing the perspective of what you're doing or what you're a part of.
Yeah. Well, for me, I just know that, I put an importance on being funny early because of being on the bus and being in a different town every day. And so that's how you made friends. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have, a group of friends, you got to be funny fast or you're just going to be by yourself for your whole life.
These were, audience member friends? I mean,
Other kids, the pastor's kids, whatever church you rolled into, whatever kids were there, as long as they weren't big enough or they might be a kidnapper, just try to make them laugh.
How long would you be in town?
Just a night or a weekend sometimes.
It had to be sort of heartbreaking if you really struck up a friend, you know, fast friendship with somebody or had a crush on somebody or something like that, just to pack it up and leave at the end of every weekend.
Well, today I feel of like, you know, friendships as very disposable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, good.
Why not?
How old
were you when you stopped doing it?
Eight.
Eight. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that because your parents got off the road?
Couldn't spank them anymore.
Yeah.
Why did your parents hang it up?
I think it was like diminishing returns kind of thing. Like, I think at that point they'd already, you know, passed
crested.
So like my dad became like a graphic designer, and and I was psyched because I got to go to like a real school instead of being on a bus. So yeah, it was good.
We have the song, by the way.
Oh, this is the
love song for number two. The live performance.
Oh, yeah, this is my mom and dad.
I'll sing you a love song because you came to my mind. It's not a typical love song because it's one of
got a very 70s set.
When I say I love you, you know that it's true.
Or 80s set. Got kind of looked like the Donnie Marie kind of sets and all those kind of variety shows from the 80s, 70s.
This is probably either the 700 Club or the Jim Baker, Tammy Faye, like network they had.
Your dad had a goatee back when it was creepy to have a goatee.
Yeah. Or is it a Fu Manchu? I can't tell.
It's a devil's goatee.
Like a Fu Manchu. The resolution's not great, but it looks to me like a Fu Manchu as well.
Yeah. Did they write this? This is this is snappy.
Gina, you had a wedding coming up.
I am so down for this
Chris,
song at the recessional.
We're enjoying this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you all are enjoying it.
Seems pretty learnable.
Yeah, easily
work
learnable.
It into your set.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm obsessed with your dad's facial hair.
It is. It is bold.
It's a bold choice.
You had the dry look.
Are they singing live?
I have no idea. I mean, they have always had backing tracks, but the vocals are live, I think.
I had to know the mics were hot. How else can we hear her beating the shit out of you backstage?
Yeah, that's true.
Encore!
Church.
I like this song.
Now don't be downhearted and think I don't love you. I'd expect the same commitment from you.
They still have all those costumes.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow. All right. Yeah.
Wow. That song was only half over, by the way. Now, like four more verses.
Now, did you get to be a teenager and become crazily embarrassed, I mean, by your family, or is it something you always were proud of and embraced? And there's probably a difference between your sister, because I've noticed boy-girl twins. The girls just get immediately like, Dad, you know, just everything's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. If you talk to their friends or ask them stuff, they get so freaked out by it at a certain age.
You're just the chauffeur.
Right.
I mean, the only thing that really embarrassed me was that they would, if like we'd be going somewhere and they'd walk into like a room that they thought had good acoustics, they would be like, oh, this is great acoustics. So then they'd start singing. It's the mall. My friends are here. This is the one, you know, like, but like that was the only thing is like they just would stop and sing like a lot.
A question about, because they're obviously it's religious music and that was the life they were living. Did they live that way at home or was this more of a work thing?
Oh, no. It was very like, you know, like I grew up, I couldn't watch. There's most things I couldn't watch. I couldn't watch like Smurfs because it had magic in it. I couldn't watch
Azrael and Gargamel.
Yeah, I guess
you would know.
Guy with the pot.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't watch He-Man because he said by the powers of Grayskull, so he was calling on a different power that wasn't like God. And like I couldn't watch anything with most movies. Like I have from that era, I haven't seen.
So they walked the walk.
Ooh, Star Wars must have been out.
Oh yeah,
I could watch Star Wars.
Ooh, nice.
I could watch Star Wars. But like, there's movies today that I like. My wife will be like, "You've never seen Terminator 2?" Like, no. And like, I've watched all three, and she was like, "What did you think?" And I was like, "I like the third one and the second one." She's like, "What do you mean? You like the third one and the second one?" I was like, "Well, I like the one. I like those are the best." And she was like, "The first one, the second one." I'm like, "No, the third one was cool too. Like, I like the Lady Terminator and
that's wrong."
Well, that's what she says, but I don't have
embedded nostalgia.
Like I saw Ghostbusters for the first time at the age of like 35, and I thought it was like okay. Yeah. Like I didn't love it, you know.
Yeah. Well, certainly the special effects don't hold up And also, I don't think it's good for a movie or a restaurant or even a date to have too much buildup going into it, because it just, any movie that I waited a long time on that was hyped the entire time, I've always been a little disappointed.
Of course.
And the movies you go out and discover before you hear anything about them always seem to have the best effect.
Yeah.
But so your parents walked the walk, they talked the talk, they sang the sing, they did it all. And then you then went into comedy. And
yeah,
they seemed like they had ideas about you and what you should be exposed to and maybe what you could be doing. And did they have a beef with the stand-up or with the comedy in general?
Yeah, I mean, they, like, you know, they're very supportive, you know, I mean, you know, of going, of like doing arts and stuff like that. Like, I had a, and as a kid, I had a comic book, a comic strip, like in a bunch of local papers. That's how I made money as a kid. So they were very supportive about that. You know, then I had a public access show that got bought by a PAX television. Do you remember PAX television? Mm-hmm. It used to be like reruns of Touched by an Angel and stuff like that.
Good stuff.
So a couple PAX affiliates bought a public access show that I had made as like a teenager. And so then that started being like a sketch show. And that's when I started kind of going into like, you know, darker comedy and stuff. And then they weren't into it.
Right.
And so then I did like the Whitest Kid show on IFC, and that was just a very blue sketch show. And they were like, not like, we had a movie come out like in theaters and they wouldn't go see it and stuff. So it was,
they were still
happy that things were working out.
Yeah. But they didn't have to be a part of it.
Yeah. They were glad that I didn't need money.
Right.
You know, but they didn't like the stuff. But I had a huge, wonderful thing happen to me, which was, as soon as my sister got out of high school, she joined a Buddhist commune. So she kind of took the blast.
Yeah, she's the lightning rod.
Yeah, so they were really upset with her, and I was just doing dick jokes over here, and like they kind of like let me.
Why I always say went the older brother, Kurt, who's in juvie, because your D's or C minuses or C U's or whatever are nothing compared to Kurt, who's in juvie.
At least I'm not locked up.
You know what I mean? So you're. Your sister going rogue had to, it had to steal a lot of focus and ire and energy, and you just making fart jokes on your cable show.
Exactly. Yeah. I thank her for that every now and then. Like, you know, I talked to her a couple weeks ago and we were like talking about that. I was like, yeah, thanks for doing that. That was sweet.
Is she still
perfect timing?
Is she still involved in that? Or has she kind of moved on?
No, it was like creepy. Like it's a commune. Yeah. Like,
culty.
She did it for like a couple months and then was like, this
good,
is
good for her.
Yeah. In the shower.
But I always feel like, and I think women have this wiring more than men. Was that a defiant move? Like, let's just say your sister grew up with me and my atheist family.
Right.
Would she have made the move to the Buddhist cult?
To push back.
Yeah, was there anything to push? There was nothing to push back against my family.
Yeah. I mean, if your family was like super, super, like everyone needs to be atheist, then maybe she would have become like,
if we were
joined
religious
a convent
about
or
our atheist.
Yeah.
Right, by being atheist, right.
Yeah, I think there is just sort of a, like, you know, you can't tell me what to do. I'll do the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is why. I mean, I think a lot of kids manifest this, but I feel like girls do even more of it. And that's why it's kind of tough to try to when I used to do Love Line on the radio a million years ago, I'd always say, once every 30 calls, we'd get the girl and she'd go, I'm dating a black guy and I don't know how to tell my dad. And I'm nervous, but I'm in love. And I'd go, well, tell me about your dad. And she'd go, oh, he's a racist and I hate his guts. I'm like, oh, okay, now you're going to tell him you're dating the black guy. Probably not a coincidence.
Right.
So that's what I, that seemed to be a theme.
Lucky boyfriend, by the way.
Yes.
Put in the middle of this.
God knows what kind of positions you're trying out based on her hatred for her racist dad. Awesome. I know.
It's also bad if, like, the first thing that people say when they think of you is, like, oh, he's a racist. Like,
yeah.
No.
The words that is the descriptor.
I've trained my kids to say he's set in his ways.
Yeah.
It took a lot of coaching.
Dad's dad.
What did they just say? Adam's Adam.
Yeah, right? That'd be good.
So the show, by the way, let's talk about that for a second. The Trevor Moore Show on Comedy Central. No audience.
No audience.
Which I like. I did a show on Comedy Central a million years ago, and I had to fight and fight and fight. I was like, I don't want an audience. And they'd always go, you have to have an audience. Like, you have to.
That's how it's done.
You're making breakfast. You have to put parsley by the side of the plate. And it was like, that's just how we do it. And it was like, it just felt like it controlled the pace of the show. Like, you have to, there's a certain cadence that you have to do in front of an audience versus a non-audience. Was that something you thought about?
It wasn't. I don't think it was an option. Like, we shoot it on their stage that's right there in, like, their studio. So, like, it didn't have the ability. And also, this whole season we shot, like, during COVID.
Oh, right.
So, like, we had rules where it was, like, we couldn't have three people in the room. You could have three people, and I have two guest hosts. And so then, like, when we'd have a guest, one of our guest hosts would have to, like, pick up their stuff, go out into the hall, sit in the hall. We'd put a camera out them. I mean, I love when there's, like, you know, constraints to it. I always think that's just play into it. So, I mean, it was fun, but, it was weird shooting in the COVID.
Wasn't it the Tom Green show that had the one guy just behind the glass the whole time?
Yeah.
Like, it's just 2 feet behind him, but he was, like, behind, like, a window or something.
Yeah, and all he did was laugh.
Yeah, all he did was laugh. He never contributed. He had a mug and he just laughed.
Oh, yeah. It seems like a different lifetime. All those, Loveline on MTV and weird. It's also groundbreaking to have people sit on pillows and upholstered stuff and
lounging.
A semicircle versus folding chairs,
stadium seating. Yeah.
Now with the old Loveline stuff, like, can that exist anywhere, or is it because of the music baked into it? Because MTV, I know a lot of their shows they can't show anymore because they had music, like, baked throughout the whole thing.
Oh, they can't re-air it because they can't clear the music?
That's why, like, you don't see The State, you don't see Tom Green, like, any of those old MTV shows.
That's why?
MTV not have the rights.
Yeah, it's...
Because I think the way that they had it was, like, you know, it was, like, deals with the record company, like, use our song, and it's, like, free, but, like, not forever. And they were just thinking
expired.
Of, right now, let's do these shows.
Wow.
So they can't put DVDs with these things on it because they're covered wall-to-wall in music.
That's a sad reason to not show a comedy show.
Well, it's like MTV had incredible, like, shows.
Right.
And there's, like, a whole, like, generation of shows there that are just kind of lost to
the
media.
The State
time.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love The State. I don't know. It's so funny. It seems like such a different – to me, it feels like I wasn't there. That's kind of I'm wired. So, like – I watched a whole retrospective on MTV the other day where, like, how they started, and we had talked about it a little on the podcast, but I was just watching it the whole time, never really thinking I was on MTV. I was just watching it like it was MTV. I know intellectually I was on at some point, but I never think about it. I don't know. I would be curious how everyone is wired, but my wiring is I never did it. That wasn't me. Or it didn't exist. I mean, I understand it does, but it doesn't feel like it.
What's that thing where, like, every cell in your body is different after 7 years? So it's like that's a completely different person.
Yes.
Like that
you
kind
shed
of thing.
That.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Loveline was the first interview that we ever had on White as Kids. Like,
oh, really?
I think that was the first, like, this is an actual show that we're going to be interviewed on. I think it was Loveline was the first thing. And it was a call-in. It wasn't like we weren't there, but it was like we called in to talk about the show and everything.
On the radio show or the MTV show?
I think it was the radio. I don't think it was the MTV. I think it was the radio. Because we weren't on camera. Like, I remember we were, like, they put us into this, like, radio booth, and we got here, and we're like, oh, we're going to be on Loveline.
Yeah, I can't imagine you interviewing a guest on the TV show over the phone.
No, they would always have to come out, and then every time I would stand up, my mic pack would fall off, and then it would swing around behind me, and I would feel it. Yeah, one of my tantrums I threw was the mic pack. The mic pack was...
It didn't clip onto the back of your pants?
They didn't give you the ankle one?
Ankle one?
Yeah, you ever do that?
No, I just had it clipped.
What are we, drug informants?
you never put the pack on the ankle?
If you stand up, everything falls apart.
You just do it. It's long.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they get a long cord.
Wow.
Now, I had the pack that they would clip on the back of your belt, right in the small of your back. But we would start the show and sit down, and then when the guests would come out, you'd stand up, and it would always come unclipped, and then it would swing, and you could feel it pulling on your collar, and I would seethe. I would seethe because I said to the sound guy a million times, like, you gotta fucking figure this out, and he never did. And then at some point, after seething long enough, I just pitched a fit, and I you have to kind of picture this, but I unclipped the weird little coat hanger bent thing, metal, that went, I just pulled it out, I bent it the opposite direction hard, and then I go, get me some fucking duct tape. And they went and got some gaffer's tape, and I wrapped it around the part that went down into the small of my back, and it never fucking popped off again.
Yeah.
That was my old construction days coming back. But so what is I'm trying to think, like, what is MTV today? Like, where do they rank?
Reality.
What do they do? Is it all reality stuff?
So.
Is there videos?
I think it's, you ever see that Ridiculousness show?
Oh, yes.
It's wall to wall that.
That's all it is.
That's all it is now.
It's such a weird show. It's like guys falling off of skateboards and everyone just laughs. I think it's
Ouch
just,
My Balls from Idiocracy.
Right. I think everyone, you just have to be stoned off your ass and want to watch people fall off
of
skateboards.
Yeah.
Right?
Tosh, you know?
Right.
Well, it's like when MTV was cool and like kind of like the, you know, the forefront of like culture, like you were kind of like
culture. It was the number one trendsetter.
Yeah.
You know, you had to have your video on MTV or you wouldn't sell records.
Yeah. Like nobody would have guessed that like in a couple of years they were like, just do America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what they became.
I think I jumped off around the Real World Road Rules challenges, so I really don't know where we've been. That's what I'm saying. I was like, that's when I bailed.
I like the Jersey Shore stuff. I thought that was fun. Yeah.
The Corn and Chris, it's all catfish and ridiculousness. All right, let me hit to Al Cam, and then we'll get into some news. Life comes at you fast. Close calls, fender benders, break-ins, carpool karaoke. Blink and you'll miss it. Alcam, the leading always-on personal vehicle security system and dash cam, looks out for what matters day or night in and around your car and on and off the road as well. Alcam, classic 5.0, real-time connectivity and live view, dual HD cameras, AI surveillance and alerts, interior infrared night vision, two-way talk, always connect when your car is off, always connected when your car is off. Secure video storage in the cloud at 160 gigabytes. Intel storage, by the way. Your video can only be seen and shared by you with friends or insurers. Alcam helps you tell your side of the story. Right, Dawson?
Use code Corolla20 for $20 off any classic 5.0, 1, 2, or 3 camera pack. Shop at alcam.com/Corolla.
All right, Trevor's going to hang out, take a break. We'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the Emmy nominees have been announced. HBO and HBO Max have combined 130 total nominations, followed closely by Netflix, 129.
How many awards are there?
470.
Good Lord.
Well, it's funny. I mean, it wasn't all the nominees, but when Matt was printing it for me, he goes, there's 55 pages. So we'll just focus on a couple. But that's going to be hosted by Cedric the Entertainer. We talked about that. 73rd Primetime Emmys will be on September 19th on CBS. And it's funny because a lot of these shows, like I'll give you drama series. Something tells me, I don't think either of you have seen any of these, Brian or Adam.
For sure me.
Yeah. So by all means, Trevor, please weigh in. This is best drama series. The Boys on Amazon Prime. Bridgerton on Netflix.
Hold on. If The Boys is spelt with a Z, I haven't seen it.
No.
Because I don't support
it. I'm going to blow your mind, Gina. I've seen a few episodes of Bridgerton.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because Christy loves it.
Because Christy watches it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a horny show.
It is not to be watched with the family. The Crown, Netflix.
I've seen a few episodes of The Crown.
Of course you have. Handmaid's Tale, Hulu.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's
Lovecraft
shit.
Country, HBO. And Mandalorian, Disney+.
I saw the whole thing.
I saw Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I like Star Wars.
Of course. So those are
That's not forbidden.
What have been?
Not now. I'm 40.
Wow. Yeah, but the Lord doesn't check your ID. He knows.
So, yeah, when it comes to leading actor in a drama series, it's everyone from those shows, basically. Same with actress. Let's scroll down to comedy. Blackish, Cobra Kai. I believe it's pronounced Amelie in Paris, the Emily in Paris show, The Flight Attendant, Hacks, The Kaminsky Method, Pen 15, and Ted Lasso.
Seen a couple episodes of 10-15. Pen 15.
It's funny. Yeah. Ted Lasso, people are in love with it.
Yeah.
Hacks, I loved. Flight Attendant was good. Cobra Kai, people love their nostalgia. Were you allowed to see Karate Kid?
I'd seen, like, it came on television. My parents recorded it, like, so I don't know if, a lot of times they record things and, like, bleep out the swear words.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Clean flex.
Your parents would do that?
Yeah. So, like, sometimes, like, something would come on television, and they'd be like, hey, you can now watch, like, Karate Kid. Mm-hmm. And so then I'd watch it, and then, like, if it would get to a part, they would, you know, hit record, and so all of a sudden it'd be a basketball game. Like,
and so there's taped over.
Yeah, and there's some movies that I'll see now, and I'm like, they let me see Wayne's World, but they recorded over all of it. And so then, and there's a joke in Wayne's World, which is very funny, but I never heard it until, like, when I was an adult. I was like, oh, it's usually where it goes to a basketball game. That's a great joke. Like,
for Tom Chambers dunks.
Yeah.
How were they on violence?
Violence didn't matter that much.
I love it.
You know, that's just the, yeah, violence is fine. Like,
yeah, it was just the swearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless. And sex.
Oh, yeah, sex.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll give you limited anthology or series. I May Destroy You on HBO, Mayor of Easttown, which was amazing on HBO. Queen's Gambit, great on Netflix. The Underground Railroad and WandaVision, also surprisingly awesome, just because that wasn't my genre. But it's just, oh, you'll be happy to know that lead actor in a limited series or movie, Adam, Ewan McGregor as Halston in the movie Halston, yes. Is getting a nod. Almost everyone from Hamilton, because it was put out.
Sure.
And
that's Emmy eligible?
What?
That's eligible for an Emmy?
I guess, because they put it on HBO 4th
Disney
of July.
Plus.
Disney Plus, yeah. Yes. For 4th of July last year.
How odd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel like the platform should factor in.
What do you mean?
Well, it's like, it's a theatrical movie.
So it should be a Tony or an Oscar.
Yeah, because it's kind of, I mean, it's got the budget, it's got the...
Well, it's a filmed play, but it's presented in, like, whatever, 3.5-hour format. It's a movie.
Right, but what I'm saying is like, I don't know, call me old-fashioned, but Oscars were movies and Emmys were TV, basically, is how I broke it down for, you know, 100 years until now.
That's how everyone broke it down.
And so then you go, well, that was a movie, so that should be in with the Oscars. And someone goes, no, it was on someone's TV.
Right.
Or it was on this platform.
Right.
It went to this platform. And it's like, well,
totally blurred now.
Yeah. Well,
right.
Also, like, you know, I never saw Hamilton as a play. Mm-hmm. I only saw it as a TV show when it came on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Is that your dad?
Huh?
Did Dad tell you you couldn't watch it in the theater?
No, I just didn't. I don't go to a lot of plays. So like when I saw it, when it came on Disney Plus, it's, you know, it seems like a great play. Not a great TV show though. Like it all takes place in one room. You can still see, like, you know, when they're done with their part, they run off into the side.
Very unprofessional.
Like, you know, it's not the greatest television show. Like I don't think, why would it be get an Emmy for that?
Very good point.
Why, Chris, you had an explanation?
Yeah, so it's really the Oscars. The Oscars have a rule that the recorded stage productions are not eligible for consideration. So the Emmys are
allowed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
And, you know, like there's been movies that were released on Netflix and they had like a weekend in a theater somewhere. Oh, yeah. So they could be eligible for the Oscars.
Every documentary. Yeah.
Right. And finally, for us, our purpose is the Variety Talk series. We have Conan, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
And the Trevor Moore Show, you forgot?
Mm-hmm.
Snub.
Obviously.
Snub.
Again. Now, it kind of seems like they'll give it to Conan. Because he's out now, right?
I was wondering the same thing.
Lifetime achievement, right? Kind of thing.
Send yeah, that would be smart money. You putting money on that, Brian?
I don't bet on things I don't know anything about. I don't know anything about
but,
the Emmys.
But they finally have a category, right? Because this used to confound.
Oh,
us
when it was like
no
musicals
end.
And comedy or whatever—is that what you mean?
Yeah, like they they'd go, like when I used to work at Kimmel, or even just beyond that, they, you know, they'd go you and Colbert, and then the Bob Hope tribute.
Right.
Musical tribute to Bob Hope.
And then, an old episode of the Emmys from last year.
Right. And then Blackfish. Right. And then, and then Bill Maher.
Right.
And it was like, what? What? And it was always like, there's late night talk show. There's talk show. Just pick your talk show. Make it its own category. There's enough there that you could just do it that way.
Now, on the other side of this coin, Variety Sketch Series is its own category. There are two nominations. SNL and a black lady sketch show.
Oh. They only got two nominations, period?
That's everybody in the category.
Well, I've watched a black lady sketch show.
And it's going to win.
No. She wins. It's fucking horrible. You know, SNL should win, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy because there's more sketch shows than that.
Like they're not born in the Emmys.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just the categories seem odd, and Matt was right. I mean, this feels like 55 pages. There's variety special pre-recorded is a specific category. Bo Burnham's Inside, David Byrne's American Utopia, Dave Chappelle's 846. I guess they put that on Netflix. I was thinking those on YouTube. It was first the Friends reunion, Hamilton, the West Wing special to benefit When We All Vote.
Mm.
This is odd.
If you watch the Black Lady sketch show, which is performed and I think written by all black ladies, you'll realize that they probably should have hired some middle-aged Jewish dudes and just called them black ladies to write some of those sketches because they're fucking not funny.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. What? Sorry. Unpopular opinion, but it's not good. It's just it's affirmative action.
I've never seen it.
It's bad.
Yeah. Am I crazy? I mean, Brian, I feel like you'd know this even though you're an Oscar guy, but like these categories, short form comedy, drama, or variety series, they're talking about bits. So Carpool Karaoke, Late Night with Seth Meyers, Corrections, The Randy Rainbow Show, Reno 911, Stephen Colbert Presents Tuning Out the News.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be nominating bits.
Yeah.
Just nominate the show it's on.
It's confusing. This is a very confusing nomination list.
That's why there's 55 pages. Yeah. Poor Cedric.
And you think he's going to go the distance. That's what I'm saying.
I do. But wait a minute. These things, some of these should spill into the afternoon show that was pre-taped 2 weeks earlier that Kathy Griffin hosts, right?
Oh, like the technical
stuff. Yeah. Like, why are we giving Emmys to a sketch on a late night show?
I'm still scrolling and none of these are technical yet.
Oh, boy.
Structured reality program, Property Brothers, Antiques Roadshow, Queer Eye, Running Wild with Bear Grylls, Shark Tank, Outstanding Unstructured Reality Program, Outstanding Competition Program. These are all separate categories. I don't know when this started. Television movies. Oh, this is great. Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square, which, of course, is amazing. Also in the same category as Robin Roberts Presents Mahalia. Sylvie's Love, Uncle Frank, Oslo. These are very serious works.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Did your parents look up to any popular musicians?
Like Dolly.
Paul Stuckey from Peter, Paul, and Mary produced their albums.
Oh, wow.
So he was the producer. So they liked Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
From their aesthetic, like I think they were into Sonny and Cher.
Ooh, wait a minute. Didn't they sing Puff the Magic Dragon?
Yeah, but you don't want to read too far into that.
That's true.
So they should have been conscientious objectors to being produced by
some hypocrites.
Had a little boy in his dragon.
But they also had, he had the wedding song, I think. Was it called the wedding song? Was Paul Stuckey? Gina, you got a wedding coming up.
Yeah.
This has to be on your set list. Is it the wedding song by Paul Stuckey from Peter, Paul, and Mary? It's a nice song.
I don't know this song.
You'll know it. I think you're going to know it. Your parents would know it. Did your dad ever grow a full beard? Or just kind of stuck with the Fu Man?
Like later, like as an old guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Full beard.
Is this Paul Stuckey? Okay. It's called The Wedding Song. Gina, you're going to want this one in your rotation.
Might be my processional.
now to be among you at the calling of your heart.
You know it, right? Yeah, I've heard this. This is probably his biggest hit outside of Peter Paul and Mary.
Huh.
This was his Wings.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Union of That's right. Your spirit here has caused him to hey, Chris. Remain.
You had him.
You could handle this one.
Simple.
Yeah.
Singer-songwriter.
In his name. Oh, yeah, see.
There you go.
Anybody?
No.
No? I
recognize it, but...
A little cheesy.
A very simple song.
Simple.
Best songs are.
Probably played at a lot of weddings, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's played at a lot of weddings. It's also a common church hymn.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They shall travel on to
where the two should be as one. I'd like missed the chorus. Was there a chorus?
There is love.
Wait for the hook.
Yeah,
there's
like,
love. It's coming around. Yeah. Woman draws her life from man
and gives it back again. There is
love. Oh, there it is. There it is.
That's the chorus.
It's like one of those Bob Dylan songs that has like 27 verses and just keeps going.
All right.
It's nice.
A little Paul Stukey deep cut there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deep cut. And you said this is his most popular solo song.
I would say...
Yeah, this is not listed as Peter, Paul, and Mary. Even this though is Noel Paul Stukey.
Even though I seem like a Peter, Paul, and Mary expert...
Junkie.
...for many listening, I don't have any of their albums, and I really know not a lot about them, but I do have a weird knowledge of music just from listening to the radio.
Did they do If I Had a Hammer?
No, I don't... there's a few versions of that one, but the most popular one... Is maybe well, maybe it is them. Mm. Stukey best known for
So that's his best known composition. Charted in 71. He wrote it as a wedding gift for Peter Yarrow.
Oh, there you go.
And refused to perform it for the public until Yarrow requested it at a concert where his wife was present.
That's very nice.
Well, that's very sweet.
Yeah, I don't want to steal his song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Peter, Paul, and Mary did a Via the Hammer.
Yeah, it seems like a Peter, Paul, and Mary song.
All right, who else? Oh, I've done. Everyone did that song.
The Carpenters should have done If I Had a Hammer, though, for being honest.
The Carpenters.
Are the Carpenters, yeah.
I don't want to let it go because I don't know shit about TV, but Gina mentioned, going to lose, obviously, to Dolly Parton, the movie Uncle Frank, which was a movie that came out last year and nobody saw. It came out on Amazon. It's a feature-length movie directed by Alan Ball, who did American Beauty. Yeah, prestigious director. It's Skyfall. He did American Beauty. He did a movie called Uncle Frank with Paul Bettany. It is the good, what was the shitty movie from Ron Howard last year? Hillbilly Elegy. It's the good Hillbilly Elegy. It's about a guy from the sticks who moves to New York, becomes intellectual, goes back home for a funeral or something, and then there's some tension because he's gay. He's living with a guy in New York, but his dad's this old redneck, and there's this crushing scene at the end. It's very good.
I've never heard
good.
Of it.
Oh, good. Well, we should watch it.
Okay. A little update on Conor McGregor. He underwent his 3.5-hour surgery in L.A. successfully, apparently. Doctors inserted a rod in his tibia. His fibula was also fixed with plates and screws, according to TMZ Sports. We know he suffered that really gruesome lower leg injury. We talked about that. He was transported right to Cedars here in L.A. Sources say that Conor had an intramedullary rod inserted into the tibia. Oh. The surgery went well.
I'll see you tomorrow.
What?
No.
Oh, yeah. He even tweeted, just out of surgery. Surgery went excellent. Feeling tremendous. 6 weeks on crutch and we will build back. Let's go.
Hey, you got to love the guy's attitude.
Yeah.
And he's a draw. So I hope he can keep fighting.
Do you think he's nice to anyone?
And
you think he was nice to the doctor when he woke him up?
I don't know how much of it is
off camera.
I don't know how much of it is just show and brand and selling tickets. I've given up on trying to figure out who's that, who's what. I do prefer the people who pretend to be mean versus the people who pretend to be nice.
Right.
I'm now sort of enjoying the people.
Downfall.
This version of Rosie much better than I like the old version of Rosie. Because at least you know what you're getting,
yeah.
you know? It's consistent.
Yeah, and I actually do like this version of Rosie. I like the tell it like it is, you know.
I do, too. The pretend to be nice people are some of the worst people I've ever met.
That's what we're discovering.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
We should point out to people outside the area that the hospital he's at, Cedars-Sinai, is in Beverly Hills, in a very rich part of town. They have, at least in the maternity ward, they have birthing suites. Obviously, right. If you're the average person like Christy and I, you're going to the regular old, you know, birthing room. But if you're rich like the Kardashians, you're going to go to the birthing suite. It's going to cost you $10,000, but you're going to get a fucking hotel suite to yourself where no one can bother you.
And I imagine a staff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, dedicated. I at least looked into it. We did not pull the trigger. But I wonder if Conor McGregor has like some sort of celebrity, you know, setup. Because
he's not pregnant. People answer right, me that sorry, way all the time. And I'm like, you think I'm clinically insane?
Why would he be in the maternity ward,
well,
Brian?
You said birthing suite. Like, okay, is that what you think I am? You think I'm an insane person? Because people answer that kind of stuff all the fucking time. Yeah. And I don't get it.
Neither do they.
We had a sort of low res birthing suite or
business
something.
Class.
No, or some place in Reseda. I don't recall, but all I just remember is we had our own room with a bathroom, and I went and used the bathroom, and was admonished by the nurse not to use the bathroom.
You can't do that.
That was in the room
because you weren't a patient,
right?
Oh, weird.
And then this thing, which always drives me nuts. She got on me like. I used the bathroom, and she did the, you're not supposed to use that bathroom, and I gave her the, well, it's too late. And she went, well, next time, and I was like, there's no next time. I got twins. This will be it. And she's like, well, but you, and then at a certain point, like one of her colleagues or something came around and went, like, she's bad to everybody. And I was like, why don't you fire her ass then? Right. She's fucking bad to everybody. I love the conceit of it. It really, your nerves couldn't be higher. It's a most important time of your life. Everyone's just a bundle of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And she's a cunt to everyone who shows up. But it's consistent.
But everyone knows
it. She does it to everyone.
Oh, well, in that case.
Like, fucking get her out of there. Move her into the fucking morgue where she would only mildly annoy some of its residents.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not a very good doctor.
Yeah. It's really, that's what it is. Like, I was pulled aside and told that she was a bitch to everyone.
That's insane. By the way, I've spent a lot of time in hospital rooms the past 2 years. Not once did anyone ever tell me not to use the bathroom. That's new.
Were you in the birthing suite?
No, we were not.
My greatest, you know, everyone talks about, like, what are your greatest laments or mistakes or whatever. The moments in life I cherish the most is I'm always ready to tell someone to fuck off. And like, I walked out of the bathroom and Nurse Ratchet was there with her clipboard. And she's like, you're not supposed to be using that bathroom. And I didn't go like, oh, I'm sorry. I was unaware of it. I just went, yeah, get out of my face. Walk. I'm not fucking listening to you, fucking cunt.
Yeah. That's like what you, when you and Drew are told by some 15-year-old lackey to get up and get moving. Drew dutifully gets up, stands in line like little Lord Fauntleroy.
No, that was, well.
Where were you?
Drew's favorite story is when we were doing a K-Rock calendar signing at the parking lot of the Best Buy in like Alhambra or something. Like, they would just go somewhere that was super. Right. They'd plan these things. They'd go, where are we going to do the calendar sign this year? And they'd go, all right, where's Adam live? And they'd circle it on the map. They go, what's the furthest place from where Adam lives?
Until we hit water.
Spend an entire Saturday at for free. But we finished the signing, and we're in the parking lot, like the Best Buy. And Drew was like, oh, I want to go in there and get a phone or something. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go in there and get a – it was so long ago, it was the portable phone. Not the mobile phone, but just the one where you could talk by the pool or talk
like out a cordless.
The cordless phone. You know, I was like, yeah, I want to go get one of those. And I was standing in the aisle looking at him, and some 16-year-old chick came up to me, and she tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, are you as big an asshole in real life as you are on the radio? And God, I'm trying to think what I yelled at. I just go, beat it. She like went, what? It's like her fucking arms like flew up and she's like started tearing up. Yeah, I just yelled beat it as loud as I could right in her face in my biggest dad voice. And Drew was delighted.
That's really good. So you answered the question.
Yeah, I used
in a roundabout way,
Yeah, I would always, because Drew would get harangued and buzzed, and you know, he'd always go like, "Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. Like, I didn't know what, you know, maybe you misunderstood or whatever." So I would always tell him to beat it.
I appreciate that, and I draw strength from that in my own life. So
good,
thank you.
Yeah, it's good.
Jeffrey Epstein's newly discovered 1997 address book connects dozens of new names to him and traces previously known relationships back to the 90s. That's according to Yahoo News. But we have a name. One of the new names belongs to New York editor Christina Greven Cuomo, who happens to be the wife of Chris Cuomo, sister-in-law of Governor Andrew Cuomo. Her entry in Epstein's book is from 97, and it refers to the Manhattan File. That was a New York Society magazine she published after her father purchased it in 94.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Unclear exactly why her name is listed, but it is listed. She's one of 221 people who appear in this 1997 address book that was not previously published. And we don't know why just yet.
Cuomo's daughter just came out as a heterosexual or some thing.
Seven?
There's a thing. There's a thing. Everyone's got their own title now, yeah. Sexually. Hers was, let's see, what is the latest? I can't think of the name of it. You can ask Matt. Matt'll know.
Why would Matt know?
Up on that?
Because I was going to talk about it on Tucker Carlson the other day, and then they scratched a segment. Oh, it's a demisexual.
Demisexual?
Demisexual. She just came out as that?
Mm-hmm.
But the definition of that is
you
just want to have sex with people you feel attracted to and like have a emotional bond with.
Demisexual people only feel sexually attracted to someone when they have an emotional bond. Okay. They can be straight, gay, bisexual. Why do you have to announce you're a demisexual?
I feel like there's already been a word for that.
Well,
I don't know what it is, but I feel like they have to have hit that before.
Person in a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like young
broad.
Woman. Yeah. I like pizza. Oh, and I'm a demisexual. Okay.
Huh.
Just the notion that you have to announce shit.
Wow.
Now we're at the point where we're announcing no shit shit. Like, okay, you're a 26-year-old chick who doesn't want to have sex with a dude unless you feel like he's a decent person.
So you're old-fashioned.
Yeah, you're essentially old-fashioned. Right.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah.
Actually, that's interesting because I would imagine there are certain groups that would find her announcing she's demisexual is very shaming. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, so, you know, if you're a girl who's more into like
omnisexual
one night stands or just, you know, that's how you claim your power, or whatever. And it's a demisexual is like putting you down. Like, what do I have to be ashamed of?
It also, it's got to be tough for dad because you got to be running for the computer when your daughter announces she's demisexual. It's like, oh, what could that be?
Oh, that's the one piece of the roulette wheel you want it to hit.
Yeah, right. You got to be so relieved
please,
when
please.
You
look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All my money's on double zero.
Yeah. It just means you want to bond with a guy before he has sex with you. Congratulations.
Yes.
Concerts are back, baby. Garth Brooks played to a sold-out crowd of 68,000 people Saturday night at Allegiant Stadium, making it the first major stadium concert since shutdowns began more than a year ago. The only reminder of the pandemic was a disclaimer on the website. It says, purchaser assumes COVID risk. All COVID rules apply. Vegas has been wide open since June 1st, so there were no COVID rules to apply to this show. Next up for Garth is another stadium concert in Salt Lake City. And just as a refresher, what it's like to go to a full stadium concert, here's just a snippet of something that happened over the weekend.
I heard he was the biggest selling artist, not the Beatles, but American artists, sold the most records of any American
solo
artist.
I buy that.
I absolutely. Yeah.
Or even not solo.
Really? More than the Eagles?
That's what I hear.
Makes sense. Garth Brooks sold a shitload of albums.
He owned the 90s.
Mm. That's true.
Even if you don't count Chris Gaines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's count Chris Gaines.
Okay.
Here he is.
Sorry. 68,000 people. People having a damn good time. Isn't it weird to see that just happened over the weekend?
Yeah. It's also, I'm always so jealous because somebody, I don't know how much writing Garth does. I really am not a... I know more about Peter, Paul, and Mary than I do about
Garth. Does very, that is very, telling. Very little writing.
Oh, really?
He does what?
He doesn't do very much writing.
Right. So imagine this. Somebody writes the song, and then you record it, and you recorded it 26 years ago, and you get to just go out and sell out stadiums all the time versus... If you're a comedian, it's like you have to write it and figure it out. And then everyone, you know, that was last special. Yeah. We need a whole, we need a fresh hour and all that kind of stuff. Like the idea that he can just, he can do those songs in his sleep. Somebody wrote them.
And it's the opposite because nobody wants to hear the new shit when you're seeing an old, somebody you love. That's when you go to the bathroom.
That's right.
Yeah. Music is the thing to do.
Yeah,
that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
Get back to it.
Yeah.
You'd know.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, like, you can, yeah, because that's why you get people like doing it into their 80s and 90s. Like, because at that point, you know, you can probably exactly just turn your brain off and do it.
Well, also, I was talking to someone who was a huge Four Seasons fan, and I was like, oh, you've seen the Four Seasons? They're like, well, yeah, I mean, I go, this guy's got to be in their 80s. Oh, they did the whole thing. It's just pumped in. It's all, they're just a lip sync, you know.
Yeah.
You just dye your hair and just lip sync. And it's like, well, so then you could do this after you die.
Absolutely.
Essentially.
Like,
you'd be a hologram. There's no point where you ever have to doing this because you're just singing along to your own track from 40 years ago.
Right. Or something like, I would imagine, the Four Tops, where you keep switching out members of the group.
The Beach Boys. Like, four 30-year-olds and fucking Mike
Menudo
Love.
Style.
I saw George Clinton, like, the year before 2019. Uh-huh. And, like, he comes out, and it was, like, with Funkadelic, but it was, like, there was, like, 40 people on stage. And, like, a lot of them, it looked like he didn't really know them. Like, he just, he met them in the last week, and he was like, come on, distract from how old I am.
Oh.
But it was awesome.
The Coasters probably had their first hit, like, 1954, and they're somewhere at a casino right now in Laughlin, like, playing. And the average age of the guy's 37.
Right.
Of the Coasters.
Exactly.
Like, the average age of the guy in the Coasters is... older than the song Charlie, or younger than the song Charlie Brown is, which was probably one of their songs.
Yeah.
Oh, your parents probably didn't let you listen to the Coasters.
No.
That was kind of devil music.
Well,
it'd be great if this like music industry went back far enough that like you could still go see Beethoven, but it's like a guy in his 40s. Like, you know, just keep like passing it down.
Charlie Brown. Ba-na-na-na-na. Yeah. They were like a weird novelty.
They did Yakety Yak?
Don't Talk Back.
Oh, wow. Oh,
I know that one.
Coasters have a lot of hits.
Yeah.
This was a big kindergarten song for me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What years? Charlie Brown's got to be 55.
I mean, don't mess around.
Song is coming up on 70 years old.
Let's do Wait and See.
Why's everybody always picking on me? That's him on his knee. Produced by Paul of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
No shit.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I'm just a little boy. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, you can go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to see me in Minneapolis or Royal Oak, Michigan, or Kansas City, or wherever. Just added Solana Beach. Oh, Belly Up be there, and Chicago, Park West. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows.
Got to get back in time for Gina's wedding.
Please, that'd be great.
Trevor Moore, you can find his offerings of the Trevor Moore Show. Season 2 available on Comedy Central's YouTube channel right now. And his website, trevormoore.org, is where you go. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Trevor Moore and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
Get comfy wumpy.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Catch Gina Grad on the podcast Easy Listening, Paul Bryan on the podcast The Film Vault, the rest of us on the podcast The Water Cooler, and get your tickets to see The Ace Man. They will sell out everywhere all the time at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know. It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.